Welcome to the Dr. Data Show. This is Eric Siegel, and in this episode, I will narrate my recent article in MIT Sloan Management Review entitled, What Leaders Should Know About Measuring AI Project Value. This is about measuring the performance of machine learning models in business terms with business metrics rather than only the usual technical metrics. The original article title I'd given it was Rare Yet Crucial, Benchmarking AI's Business Performance. The top of the article has this quick summary. Most AI / machine learning projects report only on technical metrics that don't tell leaders how much business value could be delivered. To prevent project failures, press for business metrics instead. So before I narrate it, I'll just tell you that this article is adapted from my new book, The AI Playbook, Mastering the Rare Art of Machine Learning Deployment, which is part of the Management on the Cutting Edge series from MIT Sloan Management Review and MIT Press. With that, I will now narrate what leaders should know about measuring AI project value. AI can mean many things, but for organizations using artificial intelligence to improve existing large-scale operations, the applicable technology is machine learning, which is a central basis for and what many mean by AI. ML has the potential to improve all kinds of business processes. It generates predictive models that improve targeted marketing, fraud mitigation, financial risk management, logistics, and much more. To differentiate from generative AI, initiatives like these are also sometimes called predictive AI or predictive analytics. You might expect that the performance of these predictive ML models, how good they are, and how much value they deliver, would be front and center. After all, generating business value is the whole point. But you would be wrong. When it comes to evaluating a model, most ML projects report on the wrong metrics, and this often kills the project entirely. In this article, adapted from the AI Playbook, I'll explain the difference between technical and business metrics for benchmarking ML. I'll also show how to report on performance in business terms using credit card fraud detection as an example. Why business metrics must come first. When evaluating ML models, data scientists focus almost entirely on technical metrics like precision, recall, and lift, a kind of predictive multiplier. In other words, how many times better than guessing does the model predict? But these metrics are critically insufficient. They tell us the relative performance of a predictive model in comparison to a baseline such as random guessing, but provide no direct reading on the absolute business value of a model. Even the most common go-to metric, accuracy, falls into this category. Also, it's usually impertinent and often misleading. Instead, the focus should be on business metrics, such as revenue, profit, savings, and numbers of customers acquired. These straightforward, salient metrics gauge the fundamental notion of success. They relate directly to business objectives and reveal the true value of the imperfect predictions ML delivers. They're core to building a much-needed bridge between business and data science teams. Unfortunately, data scientists routinely omit business metrics from reports and discussions despite their importance. Instead, technical metrics dominate the ML practice, both in terms of technical execution and in reporting results to stakeholders. Technical metrics are pretty much the only kind of metric that most data scientists are trained to work with and most ML tools are programmed to handle. Data scientists know better, but generally don't abide, in good part because ML software tools generally serve up only technical metrics. According to the 2023 Rexer Analytics Data Science Survey, which, by the way, I had a hand in helping formulate, data scientists rank business KPIs, such as ROI and revenue, as the most important metrics, yet say technical metrics are the most commonly measured. The AI industry has this backwards. As Katie Malone astutely put it in Harvard Data Science Review, the quantities that data scientists are trained to optimize, the metrics they use to gauge progress on their data science models, are fundamentally useless to and disconnected from business stakeholders without heavy translation. Fixating on technical metrics doesn't just compromise an ML project's value. Often, this entrenched habit utterly sabotages the project for two big reasons. First, during model deployment, the data scientist is benchmarking on metrics that don't directly measure business value, so their model is not maximizing value. If you're not measuring value, you're not pursuing value. Second, when the data scientist delivers an ML model for deployment, the business stakeholders lack visibility into the potential business value the model could realize. They have no meaningful read on how good the model is. When business leaders ask for straightforward metrics like profit or ROI, the data scientist is typically ill-equipped to report on these measures. So, without a basis for making an informed decision, they typically make the tough choice between authorizing deployment on a leap of faith or, in essence, canceling the project. This latter case of wet feet dominates. Most new ML projects fail to deploy. An IBM Institute for Business Value, study found that ROI on enterprise-wide AI initiatives averaged just 5.9% as of late 2021, and that's lower than the cost of capital, meaning you'd be better off just investing the money in the market. Getting the metrics discussion right by including business metrics is central to overcoming the great challenges to launching ML projects. How to move from technical metrics to business metrics. Let's dig a little deeper to see what it takes to measure and therefore pursue business value. We can often span a mathematical bridge from technical performance to business performance by incorporating the price you pay when a model predicts wrongly. You incur a misclassification cost for two different kinds of prediction error. False positive, FP, when a predictive model says positive but is wrong. It's a negative case that's been wrongly flagged by the model as positive, also known as a false alarm or a false flag. False negative, FN, when a predictive model says negative but is wrong. It's a positive case that's been wrongly flagged by the model as negative. Accuracy is a blunt instrument. It's one thing to know a model's wrong, say, 12% of the time. That's the same as saying it's correct 88% of the time. That is, it's 88% accurate. But it's another thing, a much more helpful thing, to separately break down how often it's wrong for positive cases and how often it's wrong for negative cases. Accuracy doesn't do that. An example, fraud detection costs. How can you assign a business cost to FP and FN misclassifications? It comes down to how much each kind of error matters. For almost all projects, an FP error matters a different amount than an FN. Take fraud detection. When your bank's model wrongly blocks your legitimate credit card transaction as if it were fraudulent, you're inconvenienced. That's a false positive, an FP. This could cost the bank $100 on average, given that you might turn to another card in your wallet, not only for the current purchase, but also in general. The other kind of error is worse. When the bank's model wrongly allows a fraudulent credit card charge to go through, that could cost the bank $500 on average, as the criminal gets away with the contraband. That's an FN. These FN costs are no small matter. Global payment card fraud losses have surpassed $28 billion annually. The cardholder or an eagle-eyed auditor might notice the bogus charge later, but for card purchases, if it isn't caught by a model on the fly, it's in the wind. In the United States, the bank is usually liable for this loss. By determining the two misclassification costs, we establish a cost-benefit analysis not only for the entire project, but also for each individual decision about whether to hold or authorize a transaction. Then we can add up those individual costs to calculate a KPI for the overall project, cost savings. Sacrificing a little accuracy makes sense. With no fraud detection model deployed, a medium-sized regional bank could be losing $50 million per year. Consider a bank that's issued 100,000 credit cards, and each card sees an average of 1,000 transactions a year, with 1 in 1,000 being fraudulent. To summarize, annual transactions, 100 million. Percentage that are fraudulent, 0.1%. Annual fraudulent transactions, 100,000. Cost per fraudulent transactions, $500, the FN cost. Average cost from fraud, 100,000 times 500 equals $50 million. It looks like crime does pay after all, but before you quit your day job to join the ranks of fraudsters, know that fraud detection can improve the situation. In fact, in the example above, you could save $16 million. The key is developing a fraud detection model that provides an advantageous trade-off between FPs, less costly, and FNs, more costly. For the detailed math, see the sidebar. The name of the sidebar is A Fraud Detection Model's Value, The Math Explained. As it illustrates, calculating the business value is only a matter of arithmetic. So just to tell you about that sidebar, it's available as a pop-up at the bottom. If you click through the show notes to the article I'm narrating, there's a Read More button at the bottom and it kind of pops open. Same sidebar available within my book, The AI Playbook. And in the show notes, I will link to a spreadsheet that shows exactly the same calculations in a way that then you can try out changing some of the numbers if you'd like. I'll continue the article. It turns out that in general, a fraud detection model can only deliver a cost savings by sacrificing a little accuracy. I forgot one sentence before that pertaining to the sidebar. As the sidebar illustrates, calculating the business value is only a matter of arithmetic. It turns out that, in general, a fraud detection model can only deliver a cost savings by sacrificing a little accuracy. For example, the model described in the sidebar is 99.8% accurate, slightly lower than the 99.9% accuracy of a dumb model that simply assumes every transaction is legitimate and therefore takes no action to prevent fraud. In this case, a less accurate model is actually better. To understand why, just revisit accuracy's fatal flaw. It doesn't distinguish between different kinds of errors, treating FPs and FNs as equally bad. Since it doesn't account for different misclassification costs, accuracy oversimplifies for all but very rare ML projects where the costs don't differ. For most projects, accuracy is a red herring. Beyond delivering business value, fraud detection pursues a societal objective. It fights crime. In the example shown, fraud detection blocks more than half of the attempted fraudulent transactions. In so doing, it meets the expectations of consumers. Although people sometimes bristle at having their behavior predicted by models, electronically pigeonholed to receive bad ads, for example, when it comes to using payment cards, many consumers welcome prediction, gladly withstanding the occasional blocked transaction. Conversely, many consumers want to avoid being charged for a purchase they never made. So the typical cardholder has an expectation of fraud detection, though they might not be cognizant of it. Better decisions, better value. By reporting on a fraud detection model's absolute business value, in our example, a cost savings of $16 million, rather than only its relative performance in terms of lift or any other technical metric, business stakeholders are provided with something real to evaluate. They can make an informed decision about whether, how, and when to authorize the ML model's deployment. It's time for a change. Data scientists must report on business metrics as part of their regular practice. Although bridging the divide from technical to business metrics is rare today, it's a problem that's readily surmountable. You will need leaders and data scientists who are willing to rethink the way they discuss and report on ML projects and are rewarded for doing so. This way, you will jointly navigate to ML project success. That's the end of the article. I'll just tell you a little bit more of the sidebar with the actual calculations. The point is that now, even within an article meant for business readers, all the detailed arithmetic, and it's only arithmetic, not calculus, is available for you to at least skim and see that, hey, look, this isn't rocket science. We can evaluate the business value of, you know, we're not talking about how it predicts, we're talking about how well it predicts. So it's really just arithmetic, and we can evaluate the business value of using those predictions to drive decisions in this particular example, which transaction to hold is potentially fraudulent. But there are plenty of examples, targeting, marketing, similar types of measures. So again, that sidebar, I'm not going to read through all the details, but it's called A Fraud Detection Model's Value, The Math Explained, and then it starts out, let's dive into the math behind the fraud detection example, knowing that although this monumental step is only a matter of arithmetic, it's some very particular arithmetic. And then it's just like kind of a page and a half with a very narrow column. Going through more examples about, look, we're going to block these many transactions, we're not going to let these ones go through. It just shows you the actual numbers. And we have, in the context is that those two established costs, that the average false positive costs $100 and the average false negative costs $500. And you do the math and it turns out to have saved $16 million by decreasing the $50 million loss of fraud with no fraud detection down to $34 million. So again, that is available as a sidebar. It pops up when you click the button at the bottom of the article that I'll be linking in the show notes. It's also available as a sidebar within my book, The AI Playbook, that this article is an excerpt from. And also in the show notes and in the notes of the book, which are available online as a PDF at bizml.com, bizml.com. But also in the show notes of this podcast, I will link to a spreadsheet showing the same calculations with less explanation. But that way, if you've kind of looked through the sidebar, and you want to play with those calculations and change some of the assumptions, you can go ahead and play with that. So thanks for listening. Let's get those models deployed, and let's do it by actually evaluating their performance in business terms, in terms of the actual business gains, the business metrics, the KPIs that could be improved, and the measure of those improvements in those business terms based on particular deployment uses of the models, rather than what we do today, which is really just these technical metrics that tell you only the relative pure predictive performance of the model and don't tell you the potential business value.